uniform for 22 years. He wore the uniform of the United States Marines for 4.5 more. He owned the left field at this very ballpark. He was the last man to hit 400 in a season, and he did it 58 years ago. He hit 521 home runs, including one on his last at-bat. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the greatest hitter that ever lived, number 9, Hall of Famer, baseball legend, Ted Williams.
Hi, I'm Ann LaGore. Welcome to Sports Interview, and my guest is the legendary Ted Williams. So good to see you, Ted. You look fabulous. We're here in Boston. What a wonderful place for you. All-Star Week, and this must be very, very special for you to come
back.
What
a wonderful place this is. I tell you, New England people have hit me so strongly and so positively of their warm hearts.
I bet.
And their big hearts.
Must be. It's just such a great feeling to come back.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Hi, Sammy. Where are you? Come here, hi, Sammy.
Almost everything you do, you take it to the next level, particularly, well, obviously hitting, fishing, piloting a jet fighter plane. You took to near perfection. What is the secret to your success?
I honestly believe this, and I've thought about it a lot of times, but I'm probably as lucky a guy as you ever looked at in your life. I can think of the 100 different instances in my life that it was a matter of luck that things came out all right.
So you're really going to credit your good fortune, but...
You bet.
Your work ethic
I had a desire to want to excel. If I were in a group, I'm just going to give it to you real fast. If I was in a squadron at Jacksonville, Florida, and we were a gunnery team, I would say I'm going to try to be the best one here.
How about hitting? What made you such a fine hitter, do you think?
Now listen to this, Ann. Practice, 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 and the opportunity to do it. And it's concentrated practice, not just hit a ball. Oh, something happened on that swing, and boy, that registered with me. I didn't think that way at all, and bang, I did it. And I say, well, that's good. Try to think what I did. Do you look inside out? Do you try to hit the ball inside out, or do you look outside in and try to hit the ball that way? Logically, I can tell anybody in 2 seconds, 3, 5 seconds, why that isn't the best. The quickest way to get to two spots is in a straight line. That's the way you want to do it. Bang, right there. It ain't up the big circle route.
Right.
Take you a week to do it. Boop, hit you in the fist.
Dom DiMaggio told me years ago that when he'd come back, you know, from hitting or at the plate, you'd always ask him what the pitcher threw him. And when he couldn't tell you, he told me you called him stupid.
No, I'd always ask him, the guys that hit it at me, how fast is he? Because I had to key on his fast pitch. You can do things to help yourself on something slower. But if that ball's here and you decide to do something, it's too late.
And you never swung at the first pitch. Very rarely.
Not very often, because why hit at something you haven't even seen? One time you hit at him and he's that fast. Now you're all geared up. Next time you get up and up, boy, and you're late and you've pooped it up and it's one time at bat. You say, geez, he's fast today. Why not try to find out about that before you get up there? Why not take a pitch or two and see his fastball? Now, you don't hit at anything you haven't seen, so you look for his fastball, don't you?
Absolutely.
And he throws a curve. You haven't seen any yet, but he threw a curve. Didn't fool you. Oh, I saw that all the way, but I took it. Instinctively, I wanted to see as much as I could.
But I know there were rumors at one point of a trade between you and Joe DiMaggio. Were those legitimate rumors?
Oh, I guess they were. I've never talked to either one of them and said, oh, yeah, we made the deal, but we didn't get it through. But apparently there was something pretty rock hard concrete there.
Now, Joe DiMaggio called you the best hitter he had ever seen.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty high praise for me because I think DiMaggio was the greatest player I saw. There was only one other player that I thought that I played against was Willie Mays. Mm. Nah, he was in the National League, but I saw a lot of him in different situations. And those two guys are right above on the top together.
You two obviously have such notoriety, and Joe, yet so different in personality.
But I always respected his baseball ability. He could run better, throw better than I could. I liked his quiet attitude.
Was that the best compliment perhaps anybody ever threw in your direction? The one from Joe DiMaggio saying that he thought you were the best hitter.
I'll take it as number one. Yeah, I would take it from him because he, you know, how much respect I had for his ability. I thought he was the best hitter I'd seen for a long time. And you know, in Boston, we got a young kid that's right coming just right there, Garcia Parra.
Of course.
He's going to be a great hitter.
Have you talked to him?
Yes, I've talked to him.
What's your advice to him?
Well, I give him, when I haven't seen anybody, had my first chance to talk to anybody.
Right.
While I'm listening and trying to find out some little thing he'll say that'll trigger me into something else. And I have a group of questions that I ask any young hitter, and I can find out in 2 minutes how much he knows.
What's that? What are some of the questions?
Well, what's an inside-out swing? If you're late hitting the ball, where do you generally hit it? If you're early hitting the ball, are you in front or are you behind? And we kept going round and round and round. And when I got through talking to him, and say 40 minutes, I called my friend. And I said, Garcia Parra knows as much about hitting as I do.
Really?
He explained the inside-out pitch. I said, if you're early on your swing and not waiting, are you more inclined to hit ground balls or fly balls? If you hit the ball to right field, are you more inclined to get it in the air? Well, he knew that because he was observant. And he's on the honor roll at Georgia Tech. So, you know, I was dealing with a pretty bright kid. And he couldn't be a nicer boy. He couldn't be more intelligent. And I don't think anybody has better technique than Garcia Parra, unless it was Joe DiMaggio. Because he had the same look to him as Joe DiMaggio did for me.
What do you mean, look?
The way he got everything together to get right there to hit the ball.
The actual technique.
Oh, boy, he had it.
We'll be back with Ted Williams right after this. I'm Ann Liguori. You're watching Sports Interview with my guest, Ted Williams. What a delight it is to have you here. You left baseball twice to go to war, and twice you came back to win more championships. Did you ever regret the 4.5 years that you had to leave baseball?
Well, I wouldn't say I was altogether happy that I didn't have a chance to keep going on. Because both times I left, I was going good, and
sure,
bang, I'm out again. But the overall picture is that I can't regret them too much, because I think I did the right thing. I know I did the right thing. I was lucky to do the right thing.
What were those years like for you during the war?
Well,
Did you dream about baseball? Did you dream about hitting?
No, but they were very formative years in my life. I got to appreciate things more. I even got a chance to think about baseball, maybe different aspects of it that I hadn't worried about before.
What was it like to have John Glenn as your wingman?
Well, I went in that ready room the first time, 311 in Korea. And I saw two guys standing over there twice the length of these folks here in this room. And they were standing there, and here's two or three new young pilots coming in. And I looked over there, and I saw John Glenn. Never met him, never knew anything about him. And he was standing over there with another guy that was a major. Now, I didn't know who they were, but I looked them both over, and I said, boy, they're special. Never knowing it was John Glenn, and the other guy, I still don't know who it is. He was a lieutenant or colonel. And so all of a sudden, we're in the same squadron, we're flying together, and I got a chance to go with John Glenn a couple of times.
What did you think when he went up in the space shuttle?
Well, I look back now, and his plane was just right there, and I was flying right there, and it wasn't any of this waving around or anything. Boy, he was like glue.
So you knew he was very talented back then.
But the thing I noticed about him as much as anything, that he had leadership written all over him, and carried on for another 35 years.
What did you think when you saw him go back into space? What were your feelings?
Well, I want to tell you, that was an exciting moment that I can think of in my life.
Ted, talk about the most memorable home run you ever hit, because I understand it wasn't an all-star game.
Wasn't an all-star game. It was my first absolutely in heaven moment in baseball for me, because it was two strikes on me. We're two runs behind. It's in the ninth inning, and bang, I hit a home run. Gee.
Good timing.
Oh, boy. And that just lifted me up above the clouds. I was with the very best players, and I had done a pretty good thing.
And you were so ecstatic that you were jumping around the bases.
Oh, I know it. I looked like a jumping jack going around there. And I was, I saw it on the Movie Tone News the next day.
And what did you think when you saw yourself?
I didn't want to look at it too long. I said, I never do that.
Let me ask you your opinion on Michael Jordan.
I can't put an adjective in there any place that'll describe him any more than it's been described. He absolutely was out of this world. Out of this world.
I remember reading where you said that had he really pursued baseball.
That's right. Now
he
got
could
it.
Have been there, a really
there's
good
no
player.
There's no question in my mind that had he had played as much baseball as he did basketball, and what I saw of him just trying to do it in baseball, I haven't got a doubt in my mind that he would probably have been a very successful baseball player. He could run good. He was strong. He was fast. He was quick and intelligent. I don't think you need a hell of a lot more than that.
We'll be back with Ted Williams and his son, John Henry, right after this. I'm Ann Ligori. Welcome to Sports Interview. My guest, Ted Williams, and his son, John Henry, his only son. It's good to see you two together. I think this is the first television interview you've ever done together.
That's right.
Well, I'm delighted to have you both.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Now, how did he get so good looking, Ted? You didn't tell me he was this cute.
Look, I've had enough trouble with him so far already, and you're not helping too much right now.
He has really done a great job running a lot of different companies that have to do with you. He's president of Hitter.net and TedWilliams.com. The company is called Hitter Communication, and the websites look fabulous. What are the purposes of the sites?
Well, the sites are websites. Mm-hmm. When we saw the internet for the first time, right. Said a great place to put all the information that we get on my dad for the rest of the world
sure.
to see. And we started a very small Ted Williams website way beyond before I even got involved with the internet. And, letters, recommendations, photos, compliments, just a place to put everything, really. And it's really just gotten bigger and bigger, and the internet itself has just gotten a lot bigger.
I know. When you played, you didn't necessarily see a lot of John Henry. You guys weren't as close as you are now. Talk about what brought you closer together. Do you think it was the business or what brought you this? You're very close, obviously, now, much more than when you were a
Mm-mm.
player. No?
No, it's an act.
We never had an act, huh?
It's an act.
You pretend to like each other.
Yeah, I never had the opportunity to be with him. I'm a divorced father. His mother wants him over with him, and I want him over here. And it didn't quite get that way. But anyway, I would have to say this. He's independent like his mother. So he was going to do it his way a little bit. But he did. Only Williams ever graduated from college. So I just thought, well, I'm, you know. But as he's going along, I say, if I'd have known he was as smart as he was, he'd have studied tougher courses in college. I didn't want him to be a nervous wreck going to college and do something to get over his head that I knew would make a strain on him.
Sure.
But he did it all right.
So you're proud of him
but
now,
then
obviously.
I couldn't be more proud of him. But he can't hit.
See,
he cannot hit.
My summers went like this. Baseball for the summer, and then I'd get a call. We're going to fishing in Canada. So what do I do? I go fishing in Canada with Ted Williams.
You can't say no to Dad.
Right.
So you mean you couldn't perfect the hitting. You had to go fishing.
There wasn't. It's tough to have a baseball career when fishing is 4 or 5 months out of the year.
John Harry, how tough was it, though, when you were younger, having Ted Williams as your dad? I mean, you know, obviously you played a lot of baseball. And I know you and your mom and your sister lived in Vermont. How tough was it?
You know, I never really thought of it that way. Probably I was 14 years old, 13, 14 years old, really, before I even realized who Ted Williams was. You know, he was just Dad. We were at a spring training event in Winter Haven. I came back from a school trip to the Amazon.
Oh.
And we were at a banquet, and Johnny Pesky was introducing me to some players, and some of the really well-known Red Sox players. He said, "Hey, I'd like you to meet, you know, John Henry." And they said, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you." And I was like, "Wow, okay, I got to meet, you know, so and so." Well, then Dad sat down next to me, and one of the players was still sitting there, and he said, "Hey, did you meet my son, John Henry?" The guy gets up now and says, "Nice to meet you." And I was like, "I just met the guy, and now that he affiliated me with Dad, it was like a bit different story." So I kind of got a sense what it was like then, and I still don't know what it's like, except about 4 years ago, I was playing pool in Cooperstown, New York, a little roly-poly chubby guy, about 14, 15 years old, and he had a little family flag on. So he was related to somebody in Cooperstown. So we played about 2 or 3 games of pool, and I said, "You know, you're family related. Who are you related to?" And he goes, "Well, my great-great-grandfather is Babe Ruth."
Wow.
So now I'm standing here playing pool with Babe Ruth's great-great-grandson. I said, "It is a pleasure to meet you." And all of a sudden it struck home what it might be like for someone else to meet me. You know, and I blow it off all the time, saying, "Okay, yeah, nice to meet you." But maybe it does mean something because, you know, he's right there.
John Henry, if you could say anything to your dad that you'd like to say, what would you tell him? You have an opportunity now.
I've said it all.
Really?
Yeah.
He knows how you feel about him.
There's a lot of unique ways that fate happens. You know? 4 years ago, he had a bad stroke, and I moved from Boston to Florida. I've been down there since. If he hadn't had that, who knows where we'd be right now. But we have definitely come closer since then. Wouldn't you think?
I think so.
Ted, anything you want to say to your son?
No, I'm proud of him, and I never will underestimate his capabilities. If he gets his mind to it, and he gets his sights on it, and he likes what he's doing, oh, baby, I think he's got unlimited potential.
Don't wait too long.
Thank you so much for both joining me. This is a real pleasure to have you, both of you on together.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Anna.
It.
Thank
You're
you.
Fabulous.